The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chapel.
If you're thankful for the way that Jesus Christ came to this earth, can you say amen?
Amen.
And even greater, are you thankful for why he came, not only how he came as well? Take your Bibles and turn to that familiar Christmas story in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2. Now, normally, when I travel for the college, for the church, and I'm out traveling, I always get up and the very first thing I say is greetings from Lancaster Baptist Church and our pastor, Paul Chapel. However, today I don't have to give greetings from Lancaster Baptist Church. I'm there. However, I would like to send you greetings from Pastor Chapel. It was great this morning to receive a text message from Pastor. Said, Jim, I'm praying for you. Preach the word and tell the folks I love them. And I want you to know your pastor does love you. And I've only been here for 9 months, but his love for this flock and this place is really great. We absolutely love being here. Now, my wife will tell you, she says, you know, Jim, wherever you are, you just love it, wherever you are. But I really will tell you, we have so enjoyed. I believe I'm getting to do what I always wanted to do in every area. I love the teaching of the college students. I love the church here. I love our Sunday school class. Everything we're getting to do here, I think, is what I've always wanted to do. So we absolutely love it. But even greater than that is not only have I loved what I'm doing, I thoroughly love who I'm doing it with. And we have enjoyed this church, and we love the students, and the staff is just, they hit it out of the park. Just to rub shoulders with our staff and administration. And people say, well, how long you been there? 9 days. We've been here 9 days. No, we've been here for 9 months. And we just, every day, I got to tell you, I've even enjoyed it even more. All right, now take your Bibles. You're in Luke chapter 2. Now, the normal Christmas story is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And after the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. And maybe Christmas morning, Christmas Eve, and your family, that's where you'll stop. But I want you to know, verses 1 through 20 shows us where the Messiah was going to come, shows us how the Messiah was going to come, and it shows us when the Messiah is coming, or is come. But the why Messiah came is really in verses 21 through 35, and we never get there. Now, I want you to know, I was a little tempted today in my political side of me to preach Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And there was a little pull there. Let's look at these for just a moment, because if I really wanted to teach people the relevance of the Word of God. You know, people read the Bible and say, yeah, that was like 2,000 years ago. Hey, read Luke chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, and tell me if we're not dealing with America here, okay? And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be, and that great Christmas word, would y'all say it with me, should be what?
Taxed.
Taxed. That's that great Christmas word there, taxed. You know, not much has changed in 2,000 years, amen? That's about what it is. You know what I did, though? I did look up the Greek word for tax, and it's a compound word. The word for tax there in the Greek compound is Obamacare, is the word there, and it's a compound word. Same thing, though, isn't it? And by the way, oh, you know, Brother Scheller, I didn't really appreciate it. I don't think that's that funny. Okay, you want to know what the word means? The word means register. It means enroll. That's what we're doing. Or trying to. You know, really, look at the next couple verses. And this taxing, registering, Obamacare, whatever you want there, was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, to be enrolled online. No. Everyone in his own city. You know, let me tell you something. The only difference between these three verses and today is technology is the only difference. You know, technology has definitely made our lives easier, but not simpler or better. Matter of fact, personally, it would have been obviously they could have enrolled, if they had the technology, Mary and Joseph could have just enrolled in Nazareth. However, the time that it took Mary and Joseph to get to Bethlehem is about the time it takes us to enroll as well in our tax as well. But anyways, I'm going to hold back from preaching on Luke 2, 1, 2, and 3. But isn't it amazing the relevance of the Word of God? What's going on in their lives right then? And we have going on in our lives, in our country right now as well. But let's take it and we'll look at verse 19, of course. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Oh, is she going to get another truckload to ponder in just a few days? Verse number 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen and was told unto them. Now, verses 21 through 35 are three separate events. And a lot of times people kind of put them all together. Two are happening at the same time. But there's three events here. First of all, there is the circumcision of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That would have happened 8 days after he was born. I'm sure that would have happened in Bethlehem. Then, after 40 days that he was born, then, very, very important, is the purification of Mary in the temple and the dedication of Jesus. And this is what we want to really center our attention on. Verse number 21, it says, and when 8 days were accomplished. You know, the Bible is not a science book. But wherever it talks about science, it is accurate. Do you know it's very important It's important that babies are not circumcised, male babies, until after 8 days, or otherwise they would bleed to death because the blood needs the vitamin K in it to coagulate. And if it does not have that, the baby would die and bleed. Well, the Lord knew that. He's the one who created us. So we give now today they'll give them a shot of vitamin K or whatever, and they can have a circumcision quicker. But the fact of the matter is, naturally, it has to be 8 days. There was a reason why God said after 8 days they would be circumcised. And then that gave them time to think about a name. Well, they don't have any problem with this name. They all know what this name, Mary and Joseph knew what name they had already been told that the baby would be. The first thing I want you to see is this is all the plan of God. I want you to see the purpose. The purpose, why did Christ come? And we see it right out of the blocks in verses 21, 22, 23. Now, there's a word I want you to see. And that word that I want you to see is the word law. Look with me, if you would. Okay, verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished, you could say, because the law said it there even actually, for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Yeshua. Yeshua. Now you could say Hosea if you'd like. You could say Joshua if you'd like. But the name Yeshua means Jehovah saves. And that's the name of our Messiah, Yeshua, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, verse 22. And when the days of her purification according to the, you did a good job on taxing, help me on this one, according to the law. Now look at verse 23. As it is written in the, everyone together, law. Look down to verse 24. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law. Good job, good job. Jump on over to verse 27. The child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. And one more, verse 39. And when they had performed all things according to the law. You say, wow. Yeah, I don't think I ever noticed that before, Brother Shetler. Yeah, this is really important because this is why Jesus Christ came. He said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, think not that I have come to destroy the law and the prophets. I have not come to destroy but to fulfill. You see, the purpose of Jesus Christ coming to this earth was to do something that no human being all the way from Adam and Eve has ever done. The purpose of this little babe to be born was to absolutely 100% in his thoughts, in his speech, and in his actions was to fulfill the law. You see, Jesus Christ did what you and I never could do. Jesus Christ did what nobody has ever done. He completely fulfilled the law. Now, this is great. Not only did he fulfill it, but he did it for you and for me. Because nobody's getting to heaven unless you're perfect. The only way you're getting to heaven is your perfection. Well, then I'm in big trouble. Yeah, so am I. And that's why Christmas means so much to me, because somebody came and lived an absolutely perfect life. And before he can walk, before he can talk, he's already fulfilling the law. He's already in fulfillment of the law. Everything that is so important in this passage of Scripture, we see the purpose. Jehovah saves. This was God's plan before the foundation of the world. This isn't man's idea. It's not man who needs the law to be fulfilled. It's God who has to be satisfied with the law. That's why Romans 8:3 is so important. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Do you realize what happened here? That little babe that was brought to Jerusalem that day was going to live an absolutely perfect life according to the law, whether it's natural law, whether it's conscience law, whether it's Mosaic law, ceremonial law, every law Jesus Christ is going to fulfill. So that word law there is pretty important. Christ came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And that being the case, that's why those words on the cross, the "it" that we say, know what that "it" means. When he said in his sixth statement on the cross, "It is finished." You know what the "it" is, folks? The "it" is the law. I did it. Father, I did it. I fulfilled the law. Do you realize that from the 8 days? And by the way, the suffering begins there in the circumcision. For 33 and a half years, he suffered. He was afflicted. He did all of it for one reason: to fulfill the law so that the Father would be satisfied by pouring his wrath on Jesus Christ instead of Jim Shetler and instead of you. Oh, man. The law is important here. We see number two, though, the purpose. We see number two, the poverty. The poverty. Now, in verse 24, let's go ahead and read verse 22. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, that would be Leviticus chapter number 12, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of the separation for her infirmity shall she be unclean, and in the 8th day of the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised, and she shall then continue in the blood of your purifying 33 days. So 33 days plus 7 is 40 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. Down to verse 6 it says, and when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or turtle dove for a sin offering, onto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, onto the priest. Hold on to those thoughts, a lamb and a turtle dove. Who shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her? And she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that hath borne a male or a female. Then verse 8, and if she be not able to bring a lamb, Then she shall bring two turtle doves, or two young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering and the other for the sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. The second thing I want you to see here is the poverty and what we have here. Mary and Joseph are so poor. They're not even able to do what it's first mentioned in that Leviticus passage. Now, what would typically have happened would be that a woman of any kind of lower middle class, upper middle class, rich, whatever you have, they would have saved up enough to have a lamb. And they would bring a turtle dove or a pigeon or whatever, because there has to be two items. One for the burnt offering, that would be the lamb, and then the other for the sin offering to cleanse her as well. Mary and Joseph, you know, the ones that are in the stable in the back that just had the baby. 40 days they've been somewhere in Bethlehem. They're so poor, they don't have anything. They have enough for two turtle doves. And might have even been given that. Who knows where they come. Now I want you to get this. Because of the world we live in, the society we live in, and the time that we live in. Think about this for just a moment, my friend, before your mind starts wandering about all the activities of the day. Mary and Joseph came to the temple that day not having anything. And yet they came to the temple that day having everything. And folks, I will tell you, Christmas is not determined by what is under a tree. Christmas is determined by what's in a heart. And my friend, if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't worry about what you can and cannot put on a credit card. Worry and understand your relationship with Christ. They came to the temple, they had nothing. They came to the temple, they had everything. And if today maybe your family separated, maybe this Christmas you're celebrating it without a loved one that you used to have, maybe this Christmas you do not have the finances or the health that you have. But let me tell you this. Mary and Joseph came to the temple with nothing. Mary and Joseph came to the temple with everything. And if you have Jesus Christ, my friend, you have everything. And they came. And notice what she gave there in verse 22 or 24. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, because they didn't have anything. Whether it was a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, and they had to have one for the burnt offering and one for the sin offering. We see the poverty. Number three, I want you to see the prophet. The prophet. Now, I like this guy, Simeon. Personally, I believe that Simeon is the first human being that ever celebrated Christmas. I think he's the first one that connected on all the dots and understood everything. There's no question Mary and Joseph knew some things from the angel and the things that have happened. No question the shepherds were pretty excited about something that night that they went to go tell it on the mountains. But it is Simeon who is the first person who's got the dots all connected and understands it. Let's look at this prophet for just a moment, because I think there's a reason why he had that understanding. And I think his understanding became because of his lifestyle. And I will tell you, the character of an individual will greatly dictate the understanding that you have from God and the Word of God. And we see this prophet here in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was, can we all say his name together? His name was Simeon. And the same man was just. Well, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Therefore, Simeon was a man of faith. That it says that he's just means he's a saved man. Simeon already, well, Brother Shetler, Jesus Christ hasn't died on the cross yet. He couldn't be saved. Oh, did you not know? People in the Old Testament got saved the same way that people in the New Testament get saved. People in the New Testament, we look back to the suffering of the Messiah. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to the coming suffering of the Messiah. Well, now, Brother Shetler, they wouldn't have known he was suffering. Oh, listen to what Simeon says here. He absolutely knew that the first time the Messiah came, it wasn't to set up a political kingdom. Simeon understands that. You say, Brother Shetler, How does Simeon know all these things? Well, I think the answer is in one word in this verse. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout. Devout. Now, there are three things with that word devout that are important. Number one, Simeon was careful, Simeon was committed, and Simeon was circumspect. Those three words are imperative to know with the word devout. That he was careful. I think he was careful with the word of God. He was committed, and he was circumspect. Now, when we think of the word devout, I was trying to think of some kind of word picture that would help us understand how devout man this was, how devoted a man Simeon was. And the best thing I can think of is the way fans are towards some sports teams. You get a fan that is a devoted fan, there are three things you know about that fan. He said, man, that guy is devout about the Cowboys. That guy is devout about the Yankees. That person is devout. He is a devoted Cubs fan. I don't know why you would be, but he's a devoted Cubs fan. All right, now let me tell you, there's three things you know about somebody who's devoted towards a team or and is a big fan. Number one, they have great knowledge. They know every statistic. They know everything about that team, every player, where they got them. They know everything. There's great knowledge. Number two, there's great faith. My team's going to do it this year. They haven't done it for 40 years, but they're going to do it this year. They got great faith. They have great loyalty. They have great loyalty. They never give up on their team, no matter what's happening in their team. They have loyalty, they have faith, and they have knowledge. My friends, Simeon had all those three things about the right thing, and that is Jesus Christ. Notice what it says here, that he was devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, the comfort of Israel. He's waiting for the Messiah to come. By the way, folks, are you waiting for the Messiah to come back? Are you devout in waiting for Jesus Christ to come back like Simeon was for the first coming? We ought to be that devout waiting for the second coming as well, waiting for the comfort of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, I think the thing that is so important about this is Simeon, I believe, is the first person to celebrate Christmas because of his character. The Lord did something to him, and that leads us to number four, the promise. Look at verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Wow. That was a great promise that God gave Simeon. You know what? God gave you promises too. And you need to be in God's word. And I think to those that are devout, I think those that are committed, I think those that are circumspect, I think those that are careful with God's word, not just, well, I got to find a promise here, this one will do. I think those that are like devout, like Simeon, I think that God does open the word. I think God does give you promises. He doesn't have to give you new revelation. You've got the promises of this book. He's not going to give you some new dream or something that happens in vision that you had. No. He's going to give you the promise from this book, my friend. It is the promises of God that we hold on to. We see the promise. The promises, God gives his promises to those who seek him. You know what? There weren't just wise men in Babylon. There were wise men in Jerusalem too. There were a group of people that also believed that the Messiah was coming, and they were looking for that Messiah as well. The promise. Number five, the place. I like this. The place. Verse 27. So where's this celebration at Christmas going to first occur? Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. By the way, if you're living the right life, you're going to always be in the right place at the right time. And those things that you may think are delays, if you're led by the Spirit of God, my friend, that's not a delay. That's a divine appointment where you are right now. There could be a lot of things that change your schedule this coming week. In the next 3 weeks, your schedule may be just totally changed. Do know this. If you're led by the Spirit of God, you'll be in the right place at the right time. Wherever God may have you, maybe that place. He comes, just so happens. What a coincidence. At the very time Mary and Joseph are coming in. By the way, talk about ordinary. I guarantee you, all the women that are bringing in children that day and all the activities of the temple right now, Mary and Joseph aren't standing out at all. A very ordinary couple that has an extraordinary child. But he just, they're coming in. Nobody knows anything. They're coming in. And Simeon laser beams in. There he is. Look at this. Look at verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Have you ever seen a picture of somebody? I've been doing this a lot. A lot of times someone will say a name of a student. And I go like, oh, I know that name. I can't picture the student yet. And we go and we look at the books and we find the picture in the book. Oh, yes. And then we see that person. Oh, that's the person I saw in the book. Now, sometimes they don't match up real well, you know? If you ever see, like, okay, this is that person, and you see that person, you go like, that doesn't look like them at all. I've been in a few camp brochures and I go like, you know what? That was me 20 years ago. I don't think that's me now, you know? You see some pictures, you go, that's not them. Well, let me tell you what Jesus just did. He just walked into a picture. What is the temple? What was the tabernacle? The tabernacle and the temple was nothing else but a picture of Jesus Christ. The materials that built the temple, the dimensions of the temple, everything about the temple was a picture of Jesus Christ. Now, this is great. Mary and Joseph are carrying their baby. Talk about baby pictures. They're carrying their baby to a picture. They're bringing their baby in the temple, and the temple is a picture of Jesus Christ. And I will tell you, that day that Simeon saw Jesus, it wasn't the temple that enamored Simeon. It was the Jesus that the temple was a picture of. I like the place. The temple was a picture of Christ. Number six, the praise. The praise. Now, this was a real blessing to me because somebody after the first service came up and asked me a question about this point. And I thought, oh, is that good? I'm using that for the second one. So you guys get it now. All right, verse 28. Now we see the place, the temple. Look at verse 28. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, this is the praise. Now, first of all, if you've got a newborn, chances are you just don't let every Tom, Dick, and Harry come on up and say, hey, can I hold your child? No, I don't know you. And by the way, even if you do know them, sometimes because you do know them, you go like, no way are you holding this child, you know? A total stranger. Old guy comes up to Mary and Joseph, and they're walking in, you know, and this total stranger comes up to him and says, may I hold your child? Well, who are you? I'm Simeon, and you have my Yeshua in your arms. May I hold him? And he takes the child. And he holds that child. And I tell you what, you can have your own Christmas things. There's everything. I do love the shepherds. I would have loved to have been there the night the angels were there. I love Mary and Joseph in the stable scene. I absolutely love this. But you want to ask Jim Shetler what his favorite Christmas scene is? It's when Simeon takes his Savior in his hands and holds that Savior up in his arms and blesses God. After the service today, a Mary Town student came up to me and said, hey, Brother Shetler, did you ever think about which way Simeon was looking when he blessed God? And I said, what do you mean? You think he was looking up? Or do you think he was looking down? And I said, don't matter, does it? If he was looking down, he was looking, bless God. If he was looking up, he was going, bless God. I thought, wow, that's good. This is the praise. I want you to see three things about the praise. First of all, it was personal. This is his praise. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Then let Jesus Christ be your praise. Man, this next couple weeks, praise the Lord. And let it come out of your mouth, not out of your roommate's mouth, not out of your family's mouth, not out of your co-worker's mouth. Let it be your praise. Number two, it is a passionate praise. Oh, wow. This old man, he knew this is it. This is the Yeshua HaMashiach. This is it. Oh, it was passionate, and he proclaimed it. Look at verse 28. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou. Now we see number two, we see the number seven, the peace. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart. Ooh, that's a cool word. I got to just stop here for a minute. The word depart. This is the word that Paul uses when he writes 2 Timothy, and he says, the time of my departure is at hand. This word depart can mean four different things. It can mean a ship ready to sail out from harbor, and it departs from harbor, and it sails out. It can mean a burden taken off of a donkey, off of a beast, and they take the burden off of the beast. It can mean a prisoner. The day he gets out of prison, he is departed, he is free. And it can mean a military term when soldiers take their tents down and are ready to move on. That's the word for depart. And what does Simeon say? He said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant. My ship is ready to sail home now. My tent is ready to come down. I'm ready to get out of the prison of the cursed world. I am ready to take the burdens of my life, and I'm ready to lay them off. Now, I will tell you this. You cannot have this peace until you have known this Savior. The peace comes with knowing the Savior. When he saw the Messiah, it's like, you know what? Now I've got peace. And there is a world that can't figure out the Christian message. You guys talk about goodwill towards men, peace on earth. The peace on earth begins with the peace in your heart when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And because Simeon knew the Lord, because Simeon, now he saw his salvation, it's like, Lord, I'm ready to go. The peace. What brings real peace is knowing where you're going after you die. Then we see the perception. And this is good. Verse 30. It says, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now, let me tell you whose eyes those were. Those were his spiritual eyes. Those were his eyes of faith. His eyes of faith just met his physical eyes of the Messiah. Now, Simeon, you say, you know, Brother Schiller, Simeon's a good guy. And really, he's technically kind of like in the Old Testament. Why isn't Simeon in Hebrews 11? Great question. Why isn't Simeon in Hebrews 11? You know, Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter of all the great. Man, it sounds like the way you're building up Simeon, he ought to be in Hebrews 11. Can't go to Hebrews 11. Simeon can't go to Hebrews 11. You know why? Because nobody in Hebrews 11 ever got to physically see their faith. And Simeon is seeing his faith right now. So you won't see Simeon in Hebrews 11 because he actually got the whole touch, smell, and he got to see his Savior. He got to see his faith in sight. All right, we go to the next thing. After the perception, he saw with his physical eyes what he believed his spiritual eyes. Number 9, the prospect. Now, I would imagine, unless you're Jewish in here, I would imagine that the next two verses should be two of the most exciting verses in the entire Christmas story to you. Because look at how Simeon, and this is Mary and Joseph do not have this. The shepherds did not get this, okay? Look at verse 31 and 32. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the, would everyone say the next word with me? To lighten the who? Gentiles. Guess who that is, folks? That's you and me. And the glory of thy people. What a prospect this guy had. What a foresight he had. He knew this. He knew, Mary, Joseph, he's not just our nation of Israel's Messiah. He is the Messiah of the world. He is the Savior of all mankind. Now, I am telling you, Mary and Joseph have not connected these doubts yet. I guarantee you those shepherds that left that stable that night, they did not think that if that's the Messiah, that is a Jewish Messiah. Well, he's a Jew, but he is the Savior for mankind, and Simeon understood it. Simeon was able to put this thing together. Simeon knew that this was the Savior for the whole world, not just for the Jews. Well, obviously, we have the perplexity now. Verse 33. And Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of him. They had, what in the world? Maybe this old man is not all connected here. I mean, what in the world is going on here? And I tell you this, my friend, that Simeon understood completely that God so loved not only the Jewish nation, God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. And Mary, you got the Savior for all mankind. Boy, what a Christmas service that had to be. Not even his stepfather, Joseph, and do remember that, Joseph is not his father. Not even his stepfather, Joseph, and his mother, Mary, could grab. By the way, did you notice how it was worded? And Joseph and his mother marveled. It doesn't say, and his father and his mother marveled. It says Joseph, because Joseph is not the father. God is the father of Jesus Christ. And we see, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of. Now we come to verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the falling and rising again of many in Israel. This is the person. And our faith is not a religion. Our faith is not a program. It's not a denomination. Our faith is a person. And he catches it right here. He says, this child, no longer the law, no longer the writings of Moses, no longer the preaching of Elijah. No, this child is set. This is a person. And my friend, Christmas is the celebration of a person that has come to this world that we recognize as our Savior. This is all about relationship. This isn't anything to do about religion. Matter of fact, the Jewish religion is going to change drastically now that there is a person involved. And then I want you to see, lastly, the piercing. The piercing. Look at verse 35. Yea, a sword. I want to tell you about that word sword. That word sword, when they translated the Old Testament into Greek, they called it the Septuagint. The Greek word that they used for sword when they were referring to David and Goliath's sword, is this word right here. That's the Greek word for it. This is a huge sword. This isn't the little dagger that Peter used to cut off Malchus's ear. This is a huge sword. Mary, know this. Yea, a large sword shall pierce through thy own soul. Mary, this is an incredible day. This is the greatest day of my life. I get to see my Messiah today. But Mary, do know this. Boy, tell me he didn't understand Isaiah 53. Tell me Simeon hadn't put it all together. Do you know this, Mary? That the Messiah that you hold the first time he's coming as a suffering Messiah. This child that you hold one day is going to pierce your heart. And tell me that Mary didn't think of those words 33 and a half years later at a cross in the darkness of 3 hours at Golgotha. That Mary said, oh God, the sword is bigger than I thought. I remember Simeon said, this was what was going to happen. This is the sword, isn't it? This is the sword. Oh, my friends, Jesus Christ came the first time to be a suffering Messiah for you and for me. And you cannot take the piercing out of the Christmas story because it's not about a manger. It's about a cross. And we cannot lose sight of the fact that that little babe is going to suffer. He is going to anguish. And the sword that's going through Mary's heart at the cross, my friends, went through the very heart of the Father, went through the very heart of the Son. The piercing, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The child will suffer and die. It might start at the manger, but it ends at the cross. There is a payment for that sin that man has. I remember years ago, my wife and I had the great privilege of traveling in British Columbia and the Canadian Rockies. I remember on this one day on the tour, we traveled in a beautiful tour bus, and Marilee and I tended to sit in the back, and we were back there one day, and usually we were laughing with the group that we went, all believers, and we just had a time of our lives. And I remember, though, one time we were traveling down this highway in Canada, in British Columbia, and we're going down, and I'm sitting by the window, and I'm looking out, And we just pass, and we go under a bridge. And I'm thinking, I didn't see no ramp. I didn't see an exit. I said, Marilee, did you notice that bridge we just... Yeah, she said, yeah. I said, did you notice there was no exit or ramp to go off of it? She said, yeah, right, Jim. I'm telling you. We go about 3-4 more miles. We're coming up to a bridge. I'm looking out the window. I said, honey, look at this. I said, there's no exit ramp. There's no ramp. There's this bridge that goes over to the other side. There's nothing there. There's no road. She said, that is a bit odd. We go about 3-4 more miles. We see another one. We go about 3-4 more miles, and the tour guide from the front of the bus gets on the intercom and says, have some of you been noticing the bridges? And I go, yeah, right back here. I'm noticing the bridges back here. Have you noticed there's no exit ramp to them? Yes, I have noticed that. Let me tell you what the Canadian government has done. The Canadian government, several years ago, because so many animals were crossing the road and being killed, and it was a traffic hazard as well to the animals as well as to the individuals, if you notice, there's a fence all along both sides of the highway. Sure enough, there was a big one, man, a big fence, wired fence on both sides. That's so the animals can't cross. But what the Canadian government did was they spent millions upon millions of dollars to build these bridges so that Bambi could go from one side over to the other side. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. Now, I'm all about the fence. The animals ought not to be in the road. Good for them, good for us. They ought to be. But the bridges? Well, I'm sorry, but little Ricky Raccoon can spend his whole life on that side, okay? They spend millions of dollars to build bridges so the little deer and the little animals and the little bear can go from one side to the other. I'm sitting in the back of the bus, and I'm going, wow, what a waste of money. And then I started thinking, God the Father gave a lot more than millions when he gave sinful man the bridge to go from this world to the next. And let me tell you what Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is the only bridge. And Jesus Christ, Simeon knew this. Simeon says, I'm holding my bridge. This is my way. What I have in my arms right now is my way from this world to the next. This is my Savior. He will live a perfect life. He will suffer and die and rise again from the dead. And he will be my Yeshua HaMashiach. He is my Savior. He is my bridge. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Let me tell you, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Do you know the first man who celebrated Christmas? A man named Simeon who understood that little babe is my way to heaven. That little babe is going to be the suffering Messiah. And friend, that's what this Christmas is all about. Christmas is all about worshiping and celebrating our bridge from this world to heaven. I sure hope you have them.